From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Araspeña with your state and local news update. The improvement plan for Juneau's Mendenhall Glacier Recreation Area is still in the works, but it's well understood that when cruise tourism bounces back, changes are needed to accommodate the growing number of visitors. One of the steps in the planning process had workers drilling holes in the parking lot to see what kind of changes the geology can handle. I spoke to some of those involved for this story. A group of workers wheel out a drilling machine about the size of a golf cart in the parking lot of the Glacier Visitor Center. Sean Chausset says they are drilling to collect soil samples to find out what the soil and groundwater conditions are like.
That helps us come up with parking lot designs, building foundation designs, bridge abutment designs, a number of different aspects about the project.
The drilling is part of an improvement plan for the area that's still in the works. A receding glacier and an anticipated increase in visitor traffic means that the area will look very different with a new visitor center and parking lot.
Yeah, we had an off year in 2020, but all the projections generally say that tourism is going to bounce back, maybe more than it was before. And the consensus right now is that the existing recreational area just cannot handle the number of current visitors or projected visitors very well.
The U.S. Forest Service is leading the improvement plan, which is still being finalized pending further public comment. Tristan Fluharty is a district ranger with the Forest Service. He says the drilling this week is part of that plan.
It's strictly to inform the process. It's not necessarily already determined what we're going to do, but what they find will help inform our process as far as what is on the table for us to be able to do out there.
Fluharty says the work shouldn't disrupt the wildlife or visitors. Hikers wanting to reach Nugget Falls will be temporarily diverted to the Mendenhall Lake shore, but they can still access the popular attraction. The latest public comment period on the recreation area's future closed last week, but Fluharty says there will be one more opportunity for comment later this summer. The final decision on a plan for the area is set for spring 2022. In Juneau, I'm Pablo Peña. In other news, the Alaska Senate pulled together a 13-member Republican majority on the first day of the new session today. Sitka Republican Senator Bert Stedman will once again co-chair the Senate Finance Committee. As of press time today, Sitka's representative in the Alaska House, Democrat Jonathan Kreese-Thomas, is still in organizational limbo. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports on why the composition of the legislature makes a difference for big issues like the permanent fund and a state income tax.
Representative Jonathan Kreese-Thomas doesn't yet know if he'll be part of a coalition majority made up of fellow Democrats and moderate Republicans, or whether there will be a straight Republican majority like the Senate. The Republican Party lately has shown signs of fracturing between its moderate and extreme right wings, so much so that they might be unable to forge a unified caucus in the House. What Kreese-Thomas does know is that with the new Republican majority in the Senate, Alaska residents won't see any statewide sales tax or income tax proposals this year. Instead, the debate will likely revolve around how deeply the state will dip into the permanent fund to make ends meet. Sitka Senator Bert Stedman, a champion of protecting the permanent fund, is likely to be in the forefront of that debate. Kreese-Thomas shared his views on legislative organization and its impact on taxes during a recent town hall meeting with the Sitka Education Association.
I would guess that any form of revenue, including an income tax, is probably DOA if a Republican majority aligned with Governor Dunleavy forms in the House or the Senate. And even if a coalition is formed, it might be hard to see revenue get play because the governor has made pretty clear in very explicit terms that he'll veto any tax that reaches his desk.
Kreese-Thomas restated his argument that balancing the state's budget is mathematically impossible without some form of tax, a position that many in the legislature understand but are unwilling to advocate for. This year is the first time that a governor has proposed dipping into the permanent fund proper to pay the state's bills, a strategy the governor believes is more palatable to voters than restoring the state's income tax. But Kreese-Thomas says the gambit doesn't provide much cover for legislators of both parties who want a more sustainable revenue plan.
There are a number of legislators, especially from more conservative districts, where, you know, taxes are sort of like a bad word and it, you know, feels politically dangerous to talk about one or support one or vote for one, who say like, well, I realize a tax is mathematically necessary in Alaska, that we're never going to balance our budget without one. But like Governor Dunleavy said, he's going to veto it. So like, why make me vote on it? Like, why bring it to the floor if we know it's going to die anyway?
Christ Tompkins told Sitka Educators that he favors an income tax because 20% of Alaska's gross payroll goes to non-resident workers on the North Slope, in mining, and in fishing. And, quote, that money just grows legs and walks out of the state and leaves nothing behind, end quote. The Alaska House of Representatives in 2017 passed an income tax bill, which then-Governor Bill Walker said that he would sign, but it was defeated by a near-unanimous vote in the Alaska Senate, one of whose members at the time was current Governor Mike Dunleavy. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
In related news, it was an unusual first day of the 32nd Alaska Legislature. Girl Scouts didn't visit to present the colors, and there was no singing of the Alaska flag song. With chambers complying with COVID-19 rules, plexiglass barriers were installed between lawmakers' desks, and there were no visitors in the galleries. The Senate Republicans, as stated before, formed a majority of caucus during the last hour before the first floor session, leaving the party in control of the chamber for the ninth straight year. Soldotna Republican Senator Peter Michicki was chosen as the Senate president. In a prayer at the start of the session, Michicki noted that some senators are away from their families and asked God for aid.
Bring us together as a body to respectfully serve Alaskans. Allow us to ignore the letter next to our names, their gender, color, religion, and district politics, to allow us to see each other as fellow equal servants here to guide the policies of our great state.
Both chambers usually organize shortly after the November elections, but both chambers failed to organize this year as differences among the Republicans delayed action and led Democratic senators to hope they could form a bipartisan majority with some Republicans. That failed to happen as the Republicans announced a new leadership team.
You have officially received one of the greatest honors that I think a person can receive, and the honor is the trust that Alaskans have bestowed on you to represent them to the best of your ability.
That was Lieutenant Governor Kevin Meyer, who will lead floor sessions for the time being. Meyer served in both chambers as a lawmaker, addressed the House, and recalled his own time as both a representative and a senator. Bethel Democratic Representative Tiffany Zilkowski led the prayer in the House.
We thank you that amidst differences in our home communities, families, life experiences and perspectives, we find commonality in a call to public service and working on behalf of this place we love.
The House could not even agree on a temporary speaker to preside over sessions until a permanent speaker is chosen. The chamber split 2020 on the only nominee, Fairbanks Republican Representative Bart Laban. All but one Republican voted for him, Kodiak Republican Representative Louise Stutes. 15 Democrats and 4 independents voted against him. Both chambers are scheduled to hold floor sessions on Wednesday. In another news, Norwegian Cruise Line will not have any trips to Alaska until the end of April at earliest. The announcement comes after Holland America and Princess Cruises canceled all cruises to Alaska through mid-May. The cruise industry is working out plans to return to service after the COVID-19 pandemic all but eliminated cruise tourism to Alaska. That shutdown had a drastic economic effect on port communities that rely on ships to bring in thousands of visitors every day each summer. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention will allow cruise lines to operate this summer if they meet certain conditions and complete a mock sailing to test COVID-19 protocols. Coastal communities across Alaska are also working to determine how and when ships can safely return. The return of large cruise ships to Alaska also hinges on Canada reopening its port. Maritime law says foreign-flagged cruise ships need to stop in Canada between U.S. ports, and Canada's port is closed to cruise ships until at least March. And officials say Alaska's coronavirus contact tracing effort is rebounding after several months of hiring and several weeks of decreased delays. of decreased daily cases, Anchorage Daily News reports that state officials say great improvements have been made since November. At the time, contact tracing core was overwhelmed and people testing positive were asked to reach out on their own to those who may have been infected. This is KTOO News.